the electorate is becoming increasingly polarized, and party lines are becoming increasingly rigid. And what that means is that some of the shorter-term forces, particularly incumbency, no longer have as big an impact as they used to. The advantage of incumbency now is somewhat smaller. It's still there, but it's somewhat smaller than it was, say, 30 or 40 years ago, because, essentially, voters are less willing to cross party lines. You know, so back in the 1960s and 70s, I think incumbents got a bigger boost just from the fact of incumbency. And so I've modified the model to take that effect of polarization into account. And the result is that the prediction is for a closer election than we would have expected otherwise.
So if this election were to be held 20, 30 years ago,
right,
this would not be a factor.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine what this election would have been like 20 or 30 years ago, because Barack Obama never would have been president 20 or 30 years ago. But right, in general, incumbents got a bigger boost. You know, if you go back over the last 100 years of American history and you look at these first-term elections when a party has been in the White House for only one term, there's been only one time that the incumbent lost, and that was in 1980 with Jimmy Carter.
You're one of the most prominent political forecasters, but you're not the only one.
No.
So do others agree with you? Are they incorporating this new factor in with their models?
No, nobody's done that, but some of the forecasting models rely on the presidential trial heat results themselves, the horse race numbers. But they'll combine those, you know, they'll take those from, say, right around Labor Day and then combine them with some other factors like the economic trends to get a forecast. So in that case, the effect of polarization is probably already kind of built into the horse race numbers. My forecast right now appears to be sort of right in the middle of the pack. I've seen, you know, several others, and there's a range. There's always a range from, a Republican victory to a Democratic victory by a bigger margin than I'm predicting. But I think the average is pretty close to where I am. I think close to about a close election with a slight edge to the incumbent.
Why is your model better than the others?
Well, I mean, I think when you're evaluating these models, there are a couple things to look at. One is plausibility. Does the model make sense in terms of what we know about the way elections work? Second is track record. You know, go back and look at how this model has done in the past, and mine's done pretty well. You know, and the other thing to look at, I think, is whether how objective the model is, in the sense that are the predictors themselves, you know, things that can be measured objectively, or do they depend on sort of subjective judgments?
Going toward November and toward the election, how often will you rerun the numbers? And,
right.
And do they usually change the closer you get?
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to make a forecast when you get beyond Labor Day. I think increasingly what you should do is just look at the polls. You know, the point of making a forecast or having a forecasting model is to be able to predict the outcome of the election more accurately than just looking at the polls. You know, the closer you get to the election, the more accurate the polls become, just looking at the horse race.
Emory University Professor Alan Abramowitz, thanks so much for the time and the explanation. I appreciate it.
Glad to talk to you.